is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice, even what we're facing. I spoke a couple weeks ago on Psalm 27, and I'm going to read that again. Psalm 27, verse 1 through 10. And it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell." Listen carefully, church. "Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me when you said, 'Seek my face.' My heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." Let us pray. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. I got to tell you, there's something different in here today. I feel the presence of the Lord in here today. I really do. In a powerful way. I feel the presence all the time, but I feel it in a powerful way today. This message today, we're finishing up. We're not finishing up, but we're continuing on what we started 2 weeks ago. And I thought, man, has anyone had, it says, though an army may encamp against me. Anyone have an army encamping against them recently? Just me. Okay. No. All right. Two or three. All right. All right. But it says, my heart shall not fear. We acknowledge the enemy around us, but we're not fearing the enemy. We don't have to fear him. Doesn't mean they're not coming. They're coming. And then it says, though war may rise up against me. Anyone have a war rise up against them? And the war may come in the shape of many people. It may come in the shape of one person bringing war against you. But it says, in this I will be confident. I thought, man, I love that. And I gave you a challenge a couple weeks ago. And as I ended the message, I said, seek God first. Put Him first in your life for the rest of February and all of March. Really do it all the time. But the challenge was, do these three things. Show up for service each week. Praise and worship God each week. Give sacrificially as David did. This is right out of Psalm 27. What David did when he was seeking the Lord. He had had trouble. He had had enemies come up against him. He was facing various wars from individuals and or groups. And he's reaching out to God. And I thought, we have to be ready when stuff comes against us. You know, I was talking to my wife. We had a beautiful drive last night. Out of town, went to dinner out of town. And we were driving back, and I was just telling her how much I love her and how much I love our time together. And she said she was listening to, who was it? Steve Harvey, I think, you know. And Steve Harvey may not be a great theologian, but he was talking about relationships. And he said, young people, when they stand there and they get married, they give vows together. Most of them haven't really faced the valley yet. They're facing, oh, I'm in love and everything's beautiful. Now, I'm sure they've had an argument or two in there, but they haven't faced the valley yet. And then when they face the valley, I'm going the other way. But God tells us, man, we got to prepare for the valley. We have to prepare in our hearts. It's coming. But he says, you don't have to worry about it. You have me to rely on. You have me to depend on, and you have me to guide you through that. Sometimes we're in the valley because we took a wrong turn when God said, go that way. This is shorter. Yeah, it's shorter, but it's got this deep valley in it. God knows that. We don't always see that. We think we know better. And we get ourselves in a valley. Eric spoke last week about praising and worshiping. This week I'm going to be talking about gathering together. When we show up for service, don't forget. And Eric will be following up with sacrificial giving next week as well. Our time, our talents, our finances, whatever it is. Follow these three areas. One of our church goals is to be debt-free in 23. When we follow these three areas, we will be. The church will be better. It will be stronger. Our personal lives will be better. Our relationships will be stronger. Amen? But it takes all of us. It takes all of us to do that. Psalm 27:4 is what we're going to focus on today. And it says, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. David says, I want to spend time with you, Lord. I want to have more presence of you in my life. And I want to do that in your temple. He says, I want to do that all the days of my life. I want to spend time here with you, Lord. Why does he want to do it? To behold the beauty of the Lord. Look around. We're beautiful people. We are beautiful people. We are created in his image. And it says, and also I will inquire in his temple. And all these things start disappearing. I thought, you know, when we gather together, it's not just biblical, but it's historical. The Old Testament, the New Testament, they talk about the history of the church gathering together in the temple. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it talks about the apostles, and it said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They gathered together after Jesus had left them, and they now were on their mission to spread the gospel and start churches. They gathered together. They had regular times that they gathered, that they met. It wasn't just a haphazard thing. When the apostles wrote letters concerning the churches at Corinth, turn to Colossians if you would. Colossians chapter 3. While I'm talking about this. But when they wrote them to the churches at Corinth, Colossae, Philippi, all the different churches, Galatia, they were meant to be read in the church setting when they gathered together at a regular time. Colossians 3:16, it says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Why did they do that? They did it when they came together. They did it when they came together. This was a letter directing the church gathering at a certain time to walk and live as new Christians. When you look at that section before that, it's talking about them having the character of a new man. This is a new church. They're giving direction, saying, hey, you used to be like that. So you used to walk like this. But now, we have come, we have taught you about Christ. You've accepted Christ. Now you have a different character about you. You have a character of a new man, and you're to walk differently. And when you do those, when we come together to gather together regularly, this is what you do. So in the Old Testament, it talked about gathering together. In the New Testament, it talks about gathering together. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 says, now on the first day of the week when the disciples came together. Again, they had regular gathering times. Acts chapter 2, 42 said they gathered together for fellowship. Acts 20, verse 7. Now, when they gathered together at the first of the week, as they did all the time on a regular basis, Colossians, when they gathered together, here's what they were to do. I love that. In enduring corporate prayer and worship and learning. Now, my wife has said before sometimes, hey, attending church isn't necessarily for your benefit. We've talked about this before. We do things, or God does things in our life, that aren't always for our benefit. They're for the benefit of an onlooker. They are for the benefit of God and His glory. They're for the benefit of Jesus Christ. There's different reasons things happen in our life, but they're all for God's glory. To our benefit, to an onlooker's benefit, to an outsider's benefit, to the benefit of God or Jesus. So sometimes when we show up and we don't feel like it, it's not for our benefit. You are here so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. The person you're sitting next to, the person you're nearby, the person you smile and wave at that just needed that. You are a blessing to those people that are here. Even when you don't feel like it sometimes. And you also allow other people to be a blessing to you. I don't feel like being here. Man, may I pray over you? Man, may this happen. Hey, how you doing? Hey, why don't we? Whatever. Then you get the blessing by being there even when you didn't feel like it. Because someone else wanted to bless you. Now, David wrote in Psalm 84. Flip over to Psalm 84 if you want. I know I said we were focusing on that one verse, but that was a springboard for everything else today. Psalm 84. David had this whole section written about the blessedness of dwelling in the house of God. Psalm 84, verse 1 through 12. And it says, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts." We sing a song to that. "My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand." For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing shall he withhold from me and from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is a man who trusts in you." Man, it sounds like when we come to the house of the Lord, there's blessings for us. Well, where are they? Well, you're looking for a specific gift or blessing in there. Be open to the blessing that God has for you, whatever that is. And sometimes it's not looking like what we thought it would. It just looks different. But it's a blessing if we open our eyes. If we take off our spiritual earmuffs, our spiritual blinders, and be open to what the Lord is saying and telling us about ourselves, about others around us, if we're open to seeing what He has for us. Sometimes we're so concerned following the Lord's footsteps, "Lord, guide my path." Every now and then, He just wants us to look up and look around and see His beauty around us. Hey, I'm directing your path. You can take your eyes off my path for a minute to enjoy my beauty around you. The Lord didn't make church attendance to be a burden on us. He made it to be a blessing for us. Hang on, I got to look around. Okay, it looks like all the little babies are out there. When those babies cry and people, oh, I'm so sorry. Don't apologize. Why? To me, that's a beautiful blessing in the church. It's a beautiful blessing in the church to see babies and little ones and toddlers and young people going down to children's church. A burden that they shouted out, that they cried. Not in this church. Not in this church. It's a blessing. We recognize it for what it is, a blessing. The Old Testament, like it says, shows a history of gathering where they gathered in the temple. The New Testament shows the same history. As they started new churches in those different areas, they gathered together on a regular, consistent basis. David, that whole thing was written in Psalm 84 for the blessedness of being in the house of God. I want to dwell in your tabernacle. I want to be here. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, 25, a lot of people, when we talk about gathering together, people will read this. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I love this verse. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, like some do, but exhort one another. When you show up, exhort one another. But really, I think the key to this verse is verse 24, the one right before that. And it says, and let us consider one another. Let us consider one another when we gather together in order to stir up love and good works. My notes say love and good works don't happen automatically. You wake up and think, oh, I'll just give some love and good works today. Usually not. Usually there's something that prompts that, provokes that, helps push that. When we gather together, that stirs us up. It doesn't happen on its own. It stirs us up. When we were praising and worshiping, it stirs us up. And we start raising our hands, or we clap, or we shout, or we do whatever, or we just sing louder, or we just stand in His presence in awe of Him. Let us consider one another. That goes back to sometimes when you don't feel like coming, it's for the benefit of other people. Aiden, I'm going to call you out. Aiden, when we sing a song, what does he do at the end? Claps. And so in place, I love it. I'm calling you out for a good thing, by the way, not a bad thing. He's like, oh, okay, I can accept that. He's like, uh-oh. I think that's a good thing. I enjoy it. And it's just your appreciation for what we're doing, our appreciation for God. Now, the other Aiden, same thing down here sometimes. And she just gets into those songs. Must be something with the name Aiden. I don't know. Ainsley, you're not left out though, okay? Don't feel left out. She said, no, don't look at me. But it's those things that stir us to greater things. It stirs us to love and good works. It stirs us to a greater sense of praise and worship at times. I guarantee if we had 500 people packed in here, all praising and worshiping, guess what we'd be doing? Praising and worshiping God together. But when we have 30, 40, whatever we have, 50. Sometimes it's harder to stir each other into that. But all I know is the Bible also tells us, worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And if He's telling you to let loose, let loose. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. It gives us reason in verse 24. To gather together. Matthew 8, chapter 20. sorry, Matthew 18, chapter 20. Wrote that one a little too close there, couldn't see it. Matthew 18, chapter 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Where two or three are gathered in my name. Church, don't mistake it saying, well, if we just hang out at home, it says God's in the middle of us. Yeah, He is. Okay. But the biblical and the historical setting is for the church to come together for the benefit of others, for the benefit of yourself, to stir one another to love and good works, and to stir each other up for those different things. Goes back to what I said. God doesn't say, come together so it may be a burden on your day off. He says, come together so I can bless you in the presence of others in my house, where you can worship Him, where you can give back a portion of what He's provided you with, where you can learn, where you can grow, where you can understand if someone's telling you, hey, when you accept Christ, things aren't going to be perfect. I'm just letting you know up front so you know what you're getting into. But He says, I'm going to give you a way out and you can rely on me. And the way out, by the way, sometimes, you're going to not like me for this. It's endurance. You've just got to endure it. Push on through it. Get on through it. And we don't like that endurance. But that's the way out that He provides. He says, you're going to have to endure this. You're going to have to go through it. But I'm going to be here with you. I'm going to walk with you. And when you get weak, I'm going to hold you up. And I'm going to give you strength when you feel like giving up. I will strengthen you. And by the way, when you feel weak, I'm going to give you some boldness. And I will provide boldness. We have to be honest about what this says. Let me go back to what we've talked about several weeks now. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few that find it. Is that why millions of people in the United States are not in church today? You know, there's a revival going on in a couple college campuses now. Been going on for days. Revivals are hard to come by. They're hard to do. Why? It takes effort. It takes effort on our part to show up. And to praise God and to continue to worship Him and then to go back again and stir up others to love and good works. Revival takes effort. Revival in our own heart. Man, I want that first love that I had, that burning sensation in my heart, God. Hey, go, Adam, go. It just takes work and effort. Wait, what? Can you not just give it to me automatically? And that's what we sit and wait on so many times. He says, no, I want you to go pursue my love. I want you to go pursue your first love, which was me. Okay, God, I can work on that. But I'm telling you, this country is positioning itself through its actions for revival. And it's coming. The ground's rumbling. The walls are shaking. The ceiling is starting to sift down little dust and particles. It's coming. We have to be open for it. We have to be ready for it. I can remember as Eric and I were leading this church in the first year or two. And I stood here and I said, I want to have Sunday school again in this church. Curses COVID. But we have children's church. But I said, we need to prepare. We're not ready today for it. We need teachers. We need leaders. Lord, we need you to prepare our hearts for this to come. We have to prepare ourselves, church, for revival. We have to prepare our hearts for revival. And we have to read up. And we have to know what he's capable of doing. And he's going to blow the ceiling off this place, other places. People in this church today are going to do things they never thought they were capable of. They never thought they could do. I met a young lady from Guatemala the other day. And I talked passionately about our mission trip to Guatemala. And I said, you know, I feel like my father paved the way. My dad was a preacher, Presbyterian minister, and he went to Venezuela as a missionary pastor for a couple of years before I was born. But I felt like he paved the way. And then we came to church here, and I felt like Pastor Jack Eldred, our founding pastor, gave us the opportunity. And God puts people in your lives for those things. He put Pastor Eric Ferguson in my life. Why? To give me the faith to say, okay, I can go, because I wouldn't have gone without Pastor Eric. As you recall, 2 or 3 years ago, I went alone to Guatemala. But Pastor Eric was the person that I said, he's given me reason, he's given me faith, he's given me the ability to go, that everything will be okay. And all I pictured was Eric and I going down there and preaching the gospel and getting beaten for it. And then just walking out going, hey man, considering it all worthy to be beaten for his name's sake, as the Bible says, for the two that went to prison. Luckily, we didn't get thrown in prison. But I thought, God enables us to do things that I never thought I'd do in my life. And as I look back, I thought, these are the people that opened doors and that made it possible and gave us comfort to do those things. Revival is coming. It's coming to America. I don't know what it's doing in the rest of the world. It's already started in America. But just because it's hundreds of miles away and it's over here and it's over there on college campuses doesn't mean it can't happen here in a little bitty church in a little bitty Oklahoma. He can do amazing things. But in this thing that I just read in Matthew 18 verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. When we gather as a church gathering, is a fellowship of believers. He isn't just in us. He isn't just in me and in you. He is now in our midst. He's in the middle of us, joining us together, joining our power together. God is in this place. The Holy Spirit is in this place. He's provided the helper for us when he went on. He's provided the word for us so that we can rely on him. Amen. There's people in here today that are facing armies encamping around them. Wars being brought against them. We don't have to have fear in our heart. We can now feel competent and confident. We can feel boldness. These two signs appear. We can feel God's peace in our life as those things come against us. We have to know what His Word says. We have to believe in it. We have to trust it. We have to trust Him. We have to believe in Him. That what He says He can do and will do, He will. And He can do those things. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for David and the things that he went through. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity today just to understand the gathering together of fellowship. Lord, the fellowship of believers isn't to be taken lightly. It isn't for to be a burden on us, but to be a blessing. Father God, we ask you this week just to bring to our remembrance those words when we feel the enemy coming against us, that we feel peace, that we no longer fear in our heart, that we have confidence in our faith. But Lord, draw us to a stronger faith walk with you so that we can be Christ-like and reflect your love and your compassion for mankind. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.